Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "Return to your home and declare what God has done for you." You know, when Christopher Columbus came to the New World, he landed in the Bahamas. The Bahamas, wow, what a place to first enter into the Americas. I mean, it's almost as nice as Florida, right? The Bahamas were beautiful. And the natives were curious, and they came out to greet him, and they were celebrating, and the beautiful land and the air and the sea. It was like being in paradise, you would think. And did Columbus notice all this when he first got off the boat? No. Rather, what Columbus did when he saw the natives was open his hand with gold coins, and he said to them, "Do you have any of these?" He didn't notice the beauty. He didn't notice the enthusiasm of the natives. He wanted to know, "Where's the gold? Where's the gold? I need the money. I need the gold. Where is the gold?" You know, we live in a society that kind of emphasizes this. You know, where's the gold? I mean, what do you possess? How much power do you have? How much money do you have? And if the stock market drops, we go, "Oh, world's ending." Although it's going to bounce back up in a few months. It goes up and down like a yo-yo. We live in a society where the message is work hard, achieve possessions, status, that car, whatever it is, and get the gold. Go for the gold. How about off here? Go for the gold. And things like love and relationships and care, these are looked at as, these are soft values. These are soft values. So we work long hours because we need the money. We need to get what's bigger and better and faster and grander and the newest thing and newest technology to get the gold. But the question becomes, where is the gold? What's the gold? Are we looking for gold in all the wrong places? You know, the demon-possessed man today was healed by Jesus. And he had not one, not two, but what was the, how many demons did he have? Remember what Jesus said? Legion. Legion. You know how many soldiers there are in a Roman legion? 6,000. 6,000. That's a lot of demons. And he had a possession which completely took over his mind and his personality and his outlook on life. You know, that can happen to us too. We're people that live here. But there's the societal, or some people call it, the sociologist, the second skin. That we are part of something that we don't even know we're part of. And a society which sometimes is very materialistic. And there's the temptations to fulfill the desires for gold. And our priorities get confused. And sometimes with disastrous responses. Remember that song a few years ago by Harry Chapin? You know, the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man. And if you listen to that song, it's kind of sad. Because the little boy, he wants to play ball with his dad. His dad said, I love to, son, but we'll get together then, son. You know, have a good time then, but I got works to do and this to do and this to do. And as you listen to the song, this very poignant song, as the father gets older and the son gets older, the father wants the son to spend time with him. He said, "I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time, but could I have the car keys, or the kids have the flu and I'm really busy?" And at the end of the song, the father sings, "He'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me." Now, how many times do we feel we had the work or the job? And these are important to do a good job, don't get me wrong. But it gets in the way of what's really important. I mean, I know in my life, I mean, did I really have to go to all those church meetings? Did I have to go to all those council things? And I missed, you know, my Mark and Luke growing up and some beautiful things in their lives. And glad Joan took pictures and stuff because, you know, to see them growing up and they changed so quickly and, you know, with children. I mean, look, before you know it, they're going to be grown and driving cars and out of the home and going to college and enjoy them now. Enjoy them. That's why I'm so glad my son Luke's here today. We can miss a lot if we start majoring in minors instead of majoring in majors. What's most important? What's really the gold? In today's gospel, Jesus healed the Gerizim and told him to return home and tell the good things that God has done for him. We don't have to follow what our society tells us. We're not puppets by our society. We can make our own choices. Although our society in some ways is very sick, we've come to a place here of healing. Jesus Christ is here. The kingdom of God is here. There's a new way of seeing and feeling and looking and knowing and acting here in our society. And we can go through personal exorcisms and get rid of our personal demons. Today, we can return to our right mind and right priorities, right perspective. We can wake up to what's really important in life, to take time to be with those we love, to turn off the computer, to turn off the phone, to turn off the television, just be with those we love, to be present to those we love, especially our children. Children who need a good, on this Father's Day, I'd say a good male role model, but a good female role model too. And they need a mentor. They need a big brother. They need somebody to help show them the ropes. Children who need a model of excellent male maturity. What's it mean to be a man? A model of an elder. To, you know, as we're growing older, rather than aging, go to saging. Rather than getting older, becoming an elder. You know, you have a life experience. You have wisdom to pass on to this generation and the next generation. To look at male maturity. Where are the elders today? Where are the elders today? I'd argue they're sitting right there. You're the elders. You have the life experience. You've heard the good news of Jesus Christ. You now have a responsibility to be generative, to pass it on to children and youth. You know, the average young white male in our society is in a bad way. I mean, you see there's a lot of depression and a lot of violence taking place. You see that. You know, not to tell you, you watch the news. We can be the change agents, you and me. We need to be present to our children and our teens and the new generation to put down the iPhone, to turn off the television, to shut off the PC, to move from screening time to family time. Do you know what the average young person spends on their phone or screen time? Take a guess, how many hours? The average, I saw it on the news. Double that. 8 hours a day. Think about that. By doing this shutting down and paying attention to have relationships over things, by doing this, you will be sharing God's love and telling the children what God has done for you and what you in turn will do for them to spread the good news, Jesus in you, to show them. You know, it was so good that we don't have it in the church anymore. The LCA had it. It was called Word and Witness. It was a wonderful study. It was 53 weeks. It was a long study. But you'd study the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, the Word. And you'd see how that Word affected you. And then you'd listen to the other person's story and listen to their hopes and their fears, what they like, what keeps them up at night. You build the relationship. And when the time's right, you could share the gospel of Jesus. You know, I'm depressed. Well, how does Jesus, I'm afraid. How does Jesus help you with that? I have concerns about growing older. How does Jesus help you with that? To share the story. And that's where the witness came in. I pray that in the name of the living God, that the demons that cause you to major in minors will be exercised from you today. The legion will be exercised from me today and will be driven from you today. And we'll know a new way of being, a new way of existing. The medicine for our souls are right here, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the medicine for our soul, to strengthen you, to give your child, or the child living next to you, or the little Hudson who was baptized in this church a few weeks ago, and we promised and prayed that we would support him in his journey in the Spirit, the next generation. One of the greatest presents you can give, especially to a younger person, is the presence of yourself, a listening ear. You have two ears, one mouth, to listen and to try to understand where they're coming from. Although with my son's project, I got to listen a lot because, you know, he's way above my pay grade with what he's into right now. But through you, the presence of Jesus Christ can be witnessed by the other person. You know, the whole theme of our Synod Assembly these last few days was, I love to tell the story of, you know, and that's our job too. But you can tell the story by speaking, by being, by praying, by acting, in so many different ways. And Bishop Michael Curry taught us how to do that a lot better. Jesus was present to the Gerizim and the possessed, and he received a gift of health and knew what was truly important. Jesus is present to you today to heal you, to put you and me in our right minds, to drive out the legion of possessions that we get contaminated by our society, and give us a clean heart, a pure heart in the Holy Spirit, to know what's truly important. Now return home. Return home. You have the gifts. The Spirit's in you. Tell others what Jesus has done for you. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.